Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, this is a fascinating one. My next guest has been instrumental in the development of Luna, an artificially created simulation of the moon. This Saturday, June the 7th, Dr. Aidan Coley from the European Space Agency's Astronaut Centre in Germany will be leading a conversation called Keeping Astronauts Alive on the Moon. The event is part of the annual UCD Festival and he joins me now. Good afternoon, Aidan. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Tom. How are you?
I'm very good. This sounds like a fascinating week. Well, it's not really a reconstruction. A building that's going on in Germany. Tell me more about it.
Yeah, sure. So last year we inaugurated this new Luna facility here at the Astronaut Center in Cologne in Germany. And it's basically part of the European Space Agency's preparations for exploring the moon. We wanted to develop an environment where we could test and prepare technologies and operations for missions to the moon. So we decided the best way to do that was to recreate a slice of the moon here in Cologne in Germany. And it's a very accurate representation. It's got a lot of very high fidelity. So when you're actually in there, it feels like you're actually standing on the surface of the moon.
And what's the actual surface? What's that made from?
So we recreated what we call the lunar regolith. So the moon is covered with this really fine powder-like material, which geologists have termed regolith. So when we were recreating this facility here in Germany, we had to source approximately 900 tons of this regolith material. We had to get it specially produced for us down to the very right composition, to the right sizes and so forth. So this material is what we have here in the hall. And it gives a real authentic feeling, a real authentic aspect to the testing and work that we do inside Luna.
Right. And then you've also tried to recreate the day and night cycles, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, when you go to the moon, you're going to be exposed to very stark, strong sunlight. That's something we wanted to try reproduce here. Obviously, there's some limits to what we can do because we don't operate the facility in vacuum. It's operated in normal atmosphere like we're breathing right now. But we are still able to produce a sun simulator. Essentially, this allows us to simulate this really strong, intense light coming from the sun as you would experience on the lunar surface.
So you have that, the materials, and you have the day and night cycle. But what about the gravity? Because surely that's going to be a huge thing too.
Yeah, we thought that would be a big issue for us as well. We said to ourselves, surely we can't recreate the difference in gravity. I mean, here on Earth, we all experience gravity as one gravity. On the moon, you experience it as about 1/6 of the same effect of gravity. But we ended up developing a custom system, a kind of crane system, which we call the gravity offloading system, which will allow an astronaut to be attached to the system and to experience the 1/6 gravity, basically offloading a lot of their weight into the lift system, into the crane system, and allowing them to move around inside Luna unencumbered, yet experiencing this 1/6 gravity effect.
Wow. The other one then is obviously it's a vacuum on the moon, so there'll be no sound. Is there a way of recreating that?
No, this is something we couldn't really make do it. To actually try to produce a vacuum inside this really large facility, it wasn't economic for us to approach that. So we have to live with certain constraints. So, for example, we have to live with the atmosphere being there. We have to live with a couple of other environmental factors that we can't reproduce. But we think this is an acceptable trade-off because even some experience in this facility, bringing your technology into it and testing it there, will give you a lot of feedback on how well you can expect it to potentially behave on the surface of the moon, albeit we can't just test vacuum. Yeah.
Right, because that is how it will behave is the big thing, isn't it? Because when you put a machine, whether it's one of those Land Rovers that goes around or a camera, whatever, it's never been exposed to this type of material getting into its workings before, has it?
That's right. So one of the big challenges is the lunar dust, the regolith. It has a unfortunate effect of trying to infiltrate most mechanisms and really does a number on them when it gets inside them. It's extremely abrasive. It's electrostatically charged, so it sticks to everything. And it really infiltrates a lot of equipment very, very quickly. And it can degrade them surprisingly fast. And this is a big issue for us because obviously when we go back to the moon, we want to go there and ensure the safety of our astronauts, but also the safety of our equipment and the longevity of it. So exposing your equipment that you're developing for moon missions to this dusty environment that we have here in Luna makes a lot of sense. It gives you a lot of feedback on how well you can expect your equipment and your operation to survive in that real challenging environment.
Is there talk of what kind of time frame you'd be expecting to see another kind of manned mission to the moon?
Yeah, so this is a part of a big international collaboration that's going forward. Europe has its elements that we are contributing to lunar exploration. We've also other countries, obviously places like NASA and America and so forth. But the ambition is to have people back on the surface of the moon by the end of this decade. We as ESA, for example, are also planning to develop our own cargo lander that can bring 1.5 tons of cargo to lunar surface. And this could be anything from payloads to rovers to scientific equipment. So it's a very versatile system that we're developing. And that'll open up a whole lot of new interesting opportunities for us to explore the moon, to carry out incredible science there, and to give us a lot of feedback about how we prepare for longer missions into space, to moon and maybe even Mars in the future.
And is there talk of possibly a colony on the moon?
I don't think they'll have a permanent colony. I think the idea of, you know, maybe seeing cities on the moon is a little bit far flung. It's not a very nice place. Having been worked inside Luna now for the last 6 months or so, I could tell you it's quite an aggressive environment. But I think you can probably maybe look forward to potentially having something like a habitat or a small permanently inhabited outpost. Take inspiration from places like Antarctica, where there's people who live there for long periods of time. But we don't really colonize Antarctica, you know?
Okay, I'd still call it. In my head, that would be a colony. If you're living on the moon like that, you'd be a colony. And you'd be growing your own plants.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big things you have to get ready for when you start exploring beyond our planet is self-sufficiency. You need to find ways to sustain yourself without calling back for looking for a delivery from Amazon to the moon, for example. You need to be able to survive off the surface of the moon with the resources you have there. And one of the ideas would be to, you know, develop horticulture, to grow plants and also to extract resources there so that you don't have to be so dependent upon getting resupplied from Earth all the time.
Right. So you'd have to bring soil, though, would you?
Yeah, from what we've seen of the studies, you need a little bit of material to help the plants adapt. So you can't just put it directly into the regolith, but a small amount of soil substrate would be useful. But there's other ways of doing it. You could also do hydroponics where you don't necessarily need soil. There's a couple of different ways to potentially grow plants on the moon.
Aidan, I have to say, this is all absolutely fascinating. And I'm very aware of people listening to this and wondering, how do I get a job like his? Particularly in light of the fact that tomorrow sees the beginning of the Leaving Cert here in Ireland. How did your own Leaving Cert go, Aidan?
Well, I wish I could tell you I was a star pupil, but that would be lying. I did okay in the Leaving Cert. I ended up going into college and doing computers for a long time, which I really loved. But I always had my heart set on doing something in space. And I just kept pushing, looking for opportunities where I could contribute to something, space project, space research. Ultimately, I ended up doing my PhD at Dublin City University. And through there, I was able to connect with a couple of people working in the space sector. And then one day, the European Space Agency had an opportunity available. And as Ireland, Irish people are more than capable and more than willing to, more than encouraged to apply for these jobs. I did it, and I was lucky to be accepted as a member of the agency. Yeah,
what a great job to have, and I hope people listening now will know that if results don't go as you planned, there's always another way to get to the thing that you really want to do. Aidan, thank you very much for joining us, and you'll be part of the Keeping Astronauts Alive on the Moon taking place this Saturday at 3:30 p.m. as part of the UCD Festival. All events are free to attend. See festival.ucd.ie for more details.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.